Looking down over the congregation, it is a blessing to see so many young people in this house of God. So many lives that could be potentially used by God in His work, in His service, even in full-time Christian work. And young people, we do covet you for the Lord. We're turning to the book of Judges, chapter 5. We are coming back to think about Deborah. Thinking and praying about this meeting, I believe we should come back. We could probably spend several months just looking at Deborah alone. We have her mentioned and all about her in two chapters of the book of Judges. We have taken time just to look at Shamgar, for example, just one verse in the Bible that mentions Shamgar. We took at least 1 week to look at that. Here we have two chapters that is devoted to, or that are devoted to, Deborah. And there's so much that we could say. And I realize even as we come to chapter 5, which is the Song of Deborah, that we're going to skim the surface of it. We are not going to do an in-depth Bible study on it, but we will take today and possibly next week just to look at this great song. If you like poetry, you will like this chapter. It is the language of poetry, and it is this wonderful song that was penned after the battle. We're singing about being soldiers. And if you're a child of God, you're a soldier. You are enlisted in the army. You're fighting a war, a raging war with the devil and with the world and with the flesh every day. If you're truly the Lord's child, you will know the conflict. You can't live from day to day and not know the battle that you're engaged in and not know the opposition of the evil one. And so these chapters have a lot to teach us about fighting, the good fight of faith, and about the war that we're in. And as God gives the victory, then the praise that ought to be in our hearts, and this is really what's happening in chapter 5, it's the song of praise. It's Deborah rejoicing and Barak rejoicing in the victory that was given and what God had done, and all the glory goes to Him. And so we're going to read these words together. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel, until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of the villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thy son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people, out of Machir came down governors, and out of Zebulun they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot in the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds, to hear the bleatings of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hooves broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Canaanite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" Her wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned answer to herself, "Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, of divers colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might." And the land had rest 40 years. We've taken time to read all the chapter, to read all the song. And I trust that already the Lord has helped you in the understanding of what victory is being talked about here and what glory is being given to the Lord. We shall seek the help of God in prayer. Father, we thank thee for songs of victory. We thank thee, Lord, for modern day applications to our own lives as we think of the victories that God has wrought for us over the enemy. May we be blessed indeed as we further look at this judge, the only female judge that God raised up in this dark period of Israel's history. We pray that we will, these centuries later, be able to make the application to our own hearts. For there are things to learn, things to apply to us in the modern day. And so we just leave our hearts and our lives before they now come into this meeting and and speak to us, counsel us in your word. May not one leave without hearing the voice of God in a very definite way, for Jesus' sake. Amen. For the third time in this book, in this history, Israel has sinned against the Lord, and the Lord has sold them into the hand of their enemies. An old enemy emerges, Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, who was permitted to reign over Israel for 20 long years. In fact, the record tells us that he mightily oppressed the children of Israel for that 20-year period. We learn from Joshua 11 that this enemy had only one great objective in view, and that was to fight against Israel, with the view, of course, to destroying Israel. We have seen how Jabin is a representation or a picture of the devil, and the devil hasn't changed one bit. He is still fighting against the people of God today, as he fought against our first parents at the beginning. So he will continue to fight. And that fight will intensify all the more as we near the king's return. So we need to be aware of that, dear people. We need to know that we have this terrible enemy that we face every day, and that the devil is fighting against you, he's fighting against the church, and he has one object in view, and that is your destruction and mine. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to destroy your witness for God. He wants to put to flight anything that you seek to do for the glory of God. Satan is out to destroy, and we need to know that. Undoubtedly, we deserve the chastening hand of God in our lives when we sin and when we depart. And we see that over and over again in the book of Judges, God coming and chastening his people. He whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father in the son in whom he delighteth. As Christian parents, we love our children. And as we bring our children up in this world, and our children need to be chastened, corrected, we do that because we love them. We want them to grow up aright. We want them to live aright. We want the very best for them. And so, as they grow up, they are lovingly chastened by earthly parents. God the Father loves us, and therefore he chastens us too. He steps into our lives with his hand of mercy. When we disobey, when we turn aside from the ways of the Lord and we begin to follow our own sinful inclinations, God steps in. And it's always the mercy of God when he does this, and things go wrong. One of the reasons why things go wrong, not every time, but one of the reasons why things go wrong in our lives is because we have stepped out of the way, and now God is stepping into our lives, and he's seeking to bring us back. Satan is allowed to oppress us, and this can come in so many ways. But there's always one great objective in view with God's disciplines, and that's to bring us back to himself again. The prodigal son wandered from the father's house. He wandered from the father's love, the father's care, the father's discipline. He wandered from the father's influence, and he lost everything as a result. He lost his money, he lost his pleasure, he lost his friends, he lost his comforts, he lost his enjoyments. And where did he end up? He ended up at the swine trough, feeding the pigs. He was brought as low as he could possibly be brought. But his poverty and his needs served the purpose well. For he was brought to himself, the Bible says, and through that very situation, the Lord brought him to consider again the Father's house and what it used to be like and the blessings that he once enjoyed. And he purposed in his heart, I'm going home. And he was going home with the thought of repentance. Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. But it was that very discipline of losing everything in his life that brought him to an end of himself and brought him back, because that's the purpose of God in all his disciplines. After 20 years of oppression, the children of Israel, we're told, cried unto the Lord. And the word cried there is a continual cry. It's a bitter cry. And so bitter bondage eventually brought a bitter cry from the hearts of these Israelites. 900 chariots of iron brought them to their knees, brought them to feel their need of God, who at one time in their blessed history covered mighty Pharaoh and his chariots in the waters of the Red Sea. God's answer on this occasion was Deborah, this woman, an instrument feeble in the eyes of man, but a woman who was in touch with the God of heaven. There was not a man in all Israel that God could use. And so he chose Deborah to fulfill his purposes. She was a mother in Israel, as she calls herself in this song. And so she had a real heart for God's people. And we've often thought of that term. We've often applied it to the mothers in Israel of today. And God is pleased to give us women like that in the church that we can rightly call mothers in Israel or mothers in the church. Mothers who have a heart for the Lord's people. They have a heart, of course, for their own children, but they have a heart for the Lord's people and for the work of God. And they seek to do their best for the Lord's people. She called for Barak to muster an army of 10,000 soldiers. And really, in comparison, that wasn't many. Against them were chariots of iron and the mighty army of Sisera. And undoubtedly, Sisera, the mighty captain of the Canaanite army, he looked with disdain upon the feeble few who rallied around the banner of Barak. Only a handful from Naphtali and Zebulun. And the question could be asked, what could this feeble host do? However, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's the secret. When God is for his people, nobody, no matter the size, the greatness of the opposition or the enemy, nobody can be against a people that God is for. What enemy could cope with a little band, weak and feeble of themselves, but had for their watchword, "Hast not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" You see, Israel here, under the leadership of Deborah, had God on their side and the assurance of victory. And so it could be said in this day, do you see this mighty foe? Do you see Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and with his multitudes? I will deliver him into thine hand. That's what we read in chapter 4 and verse 7. And then we look at verse 14 of that fourth chapter. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And God wrought a mighty victory that day, an unbelievable victory. The next verse, in fact, goes on to tell us, verse 15, the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down of his chariot and fled away on his feet. And then God used another woman, this woman by the name of Jael, the wife of Heber, who drove a tent nail into the temples of the captain and thus terminated his life. There the mighty leader lay dead in her tent, his hosts beaten and destroyed, so that there was not a man left.
If this army was anything like the army that we read about in Joshua 11, like the sand that is on the seashore, can you imagine the victory that was given? Not one of the enemy left. What a victory. This, of course, led to the song that we have read, Deborah's song. There must have been great rejoicing throughout the northern half of Israel as they realized the extent of their victory. God had enabled them to defeat an army of 900 chariots, and both King Jabin and General Sisera were dead. And this was the cause for singing and rejoicing. We understand that. And God used this woman, Deborah. Deborah was a judge who sat beneath the palm tree and judged Israel. People who came with their problems. She looked into these matters. She judged their circumstances. She gave a verdict on it. She was the leader appointed by God to do that. And so she was the judge. This is the only time in Israel's biblical history that a woman is chosen by God to lead the nation. Never did it happen before or after. Deborah was not only a judge, she was a prophetess who knew the mind of God. That's what prophets, the true prophets of God, were. They were those that knew the mind of God and communicated the mind of God. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon this lady, rested upon her, and that's what made her great. And so as such, she directed General Barak according to the will of God. There is no other person in the book of Judges who is both a judge and a prophet. In fact, Samuel is the only other Bible character who was both a judge and a prophet. And so we see the importance that is put upon this woman Deborah. As a prophetess, she communicated the mind of God. Nowhere does she give her own opinion or tell what she feels needs to be done. In every utterance recorded from her life, the Lord is in control. She's bringing the mind of God to the people. A judge, a prophetess, she was also a warrior who commanded Barak and the army, up, this is the day. This is the day that God is going to give you the victory. And she sent Barak's men down the mountain to face the terrible army with chariots of iron. And the Lord brought confusion and brought defeat to the enemy and success and victory to his people. Deborah was not only a judge, a prophetess, and a warrior, she was a poet, a songwriter, a singer who magnified the Lord and gave him the glory and the praise for overcoming the enemy. You see, Old Testament leaders composed songs in order to remind the people of God's word and of God's wonderful works among them, especially those works of deliverance. Deborah wrote the song. She and Barak were the singers. It was a duet. Deborah and Barak took no credit to themselves. They exalted the Lord throughout. In fact, the Lord's name occurs 16 times in this song. Good songs, honor the Lord. Wonder what kind of songs you like. Just ask that as we pass. Wonder, do you love the songs of Zion, the songs of the Lord, songs that magnify and extol the name of your God and Savior? Or I wonder, the songs of the world, your choice and the ones you know better. I tell you, my friends, good songs are going to honor the Lord and extol Him. It is the right thing to give God the glory when He enables us to get the victory, to overcome sin, to get the victory over the devil. We praise God for the great battle which conquered Satan and sin, that mighty victory wrought by the Redeemer. And of course, it's right to sing about that triumph. And we do sing about it. And every song in our hymn book that elevates Christ, the Savior of man, and the cross upon which He died, and the blood offering that He made when He was here upon the earth, and seeks to extol our blessed Savior in the great atonement that He made, Those are the songs of victory, and the songs of praise that should come from our hearts when we think of the battle that he fought on our behalf and won for us. Satan was vanquished. And those of us who have received Christ, we've got the new song. Then, of course, we've got many battles to fight. We have many foes to overcome. We must storm the house of the strong man. The strong man in Scripture is a picture of the devil. And as we engage in the battle, we are storming the house of the evil one. And we are seeking to plunder his goods. We ought to praise God when we know victory over the devil. When God gives you victory over sin, there ought to be a song in your heart. When he allows you to win the battle, maybe it is some kind of temper that you have, an ungovernable temper, and God gives you the victory to overcome that terrible besetting sin in your life, you ought to thank the Lord for it. Or as the Lord enables you to get victory over impurity in your life, you've been battling with some besetting sin of an immoral nature, and God steps into your life and he wins the victory for you, you ought to praise him for the triumph given. Or when the Lord gives you victory over laziness. I'm speaking about laziness and God's work. Sitting back and doing nothing. We'll come to see probably next week something of this, because this song talks about people who sat back and didn't do anything in the battle, and God condemned them for it, as he still condemns his people. But when God gives us victory over laziness, choosing the comforts and the relaxations of this life rather than serving him, we ought to praise him for such victory. Or when he gives us victory over lies. Is it possible for God's people to lie? Well, I've heard God's people tell lies. So it must be possible if they are the Lord's people in the first place. But when God gives you victory over lies, lies that damn souls in hell, we ought to rejoice that God has made us a truthful people. Or when God gives us victory over gossip, gossip's an awful thing. It's condemned over and over again in the Bible. And there are those who just seem to give themselves over to a gossipy tongue. But they're brought to see the sin of it. And they're brought to feel the weight of that sin and the guilt in their lives. And God gives them the victory. And now they're out there to exalt Christ in their words and to promote the work of God in all that they do. That's a cause for praise and rejoicing. When God gives victory over disobedience, has God been calling you to do something? You've disobeyed him. You've walked in the opposite direction. And when the Lord brings you to see the sin of disobedience and gives you victory, you ought to pray. There ought to be a song in your heart giving you victory over that enemy. Or maybe it's hatred in your heart or some other besetting sin. You see, my friends, when we see Satan defeated in his plans, we ought to have a song in our hearts. And you know, whenever we see Satan defeated in gospel work, let's remember the enemy is particularly out to destroy the work of God. He's out to destroy the Christian. He's out to destroy the effectiveness of Christian testimony in this town, in this country. He's out to pull down the Christian church. And whenever we see the devil defeated in these things and God giving victory through the preaching of Christ and souls being saved, there ought to be a song of rejoicing and a song of victory in our hearts. This is what's happening here. God has given total victory over Jabin and Sisera and the great army of the Canaanites, this awful foe. And it brings Deborah to write a song that she and Barak sings. And so there ought to be that song in our hearts. Now, if you've got the announcement sheet, you'll see that there are 7 points. We haven't got to the first one yet. But we'll come to the first one, and then we'll see what happens. But we've plenty of time next week to come back to it. But this is an important point to make. And I could preach a sermon on all these 7 points, but this is an important point to make. You'll notice that Deborah gave the glory to God in this song. And that is so from the beginning to the end. And it's highlighted at the beginning and it's highlighted at the end. God gets all the glory. Look at verses 2 and 3. Praise ye the Lord. The word praise there is the word bless. The word Lord, of course, is the word Jehovah. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. The song of Deborah and Barak, the song that they sing, is one of the most famous in all history. It was preeminently a song of praise. The Lord is given the honor from the beginning. Praise ye the Lord, she sings with her fellow companion Barak. And of course, that's a hallelujah, isn't it? Which means praise ye the Lord. Deborah is deeply thankful to the Lord for what he has done and gives him all the glory. And this is how we should feel. This is how we ought to feel. When God gives us success, when God overcomes the enemy in our lives, when God causes us to triumph, when God puts to flight the wicked, when God bestows gospel blessing, don't we feel like singing? Don't we feel like praising his glorious name? God forbid that we should ever steal the glory that belongs to him and take the praise to ourselves. God forbid that we would get puffed up with pride and think that the success was somehow to do with us. It was us that did it. Now, yes, God uses men as instruments in his hand. And he uses women too, as we see here in the life of Deborah. But he is the one that makes our way prosperous. He is the one that makes our way successful. Let our names perish. And let the name of our God be uplifted, that eternal name. Let us sing in truth and with meaning. The words of the hymn, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. My friends, when God gives a victory, when he sees us through, he must receive the praise, for he alone has done it. People are always looking for praise and self-recommendation, even in those things that God has wrought. Why didn't you mention my name? Why didn't you give me praise? You know, the scripture says in Proverbs 27 and verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. And so if there is something to be said at all, let somebody else do it without prompting them, without telling them, you've got to give me the praise. No, God should have all the glory in what he has done. I can remember having the opportunity of pointing a dear soul to Christ that I had never met. I was the preacher at a certain meeting, and afterwards I had the joy of counseling this young man about the things of God. There was another young person there, and they had spoken briefly to this individual beforehand, and I'm sure it was helpful. But you know, a few weeks later, I was approached by another person, and I was asked the question, why didn't you give him praise? Why didn't you mention his name? He was instrumental. He was part of that person's conversion. And I have to admit, I was dumbstruck. I had just to say, listen, it was off the Lord what God did in the saving of that young man. God needs to receive all the glory. It wasn't in me. It wasn't in anybody else. It was God that did it. My friends, learn to give God the glory. Let us not glory in ourselves. Let not our songs of victory be full of I and me, but rather here's what the Lord has done. Our attitude of heart always must be like the psalmist, the Psalm 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. We want to tell somebody about what God has done. You want to say God has done it. We didn't do it. want you to come and hear what God has done. Or we think of the other Psalm 126, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. That's the place where we need to be brought to every time when God is pleased to give the victory. And this is what Deborah is doing. And she begins her song with this shout of praise, where she says, praise ye the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And men and women, in our songs, the aftermath of the battle, when we think about what God has done, what God has wrought, and the victories that he has accomplished, we want to come alongside Deborah, don't we? We want to be able to say, Lord, you have done this. And we praise your glorious name. And we give all the honor and the glory, for that belongs to one person. And that's the one who's sitting upon the throne of eternal glory. Let our names perish. Let the name of our God be exalted. We say with John the Baptist, he must increase and we must decrease. And we're going to leave the thought there with you as we give God the glory. Let us pray. Lord, we know that the enemy was great in Deborah's time. We think of these 900 chariots of iron. We think of the innumerable soldiers that were in the army of Jabin, led by Sisera, this great captain. We think of the small and feeble group of Israelites that went out to face them in the battle. And certainly there was no match at all. But God gave the victory. And Lord, we admit again in your presence, we are no match for the devil. We are no match for sin that creeps into our lives. We will be defeated every time. And Lord, we need the victory over the devil. The disciples overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we want to be overcomers. We want to stand into the victory of Calvary. We want to know what it is to gain gospel victory, to see the strong man, the devil, defeated, his house plundered, souls brought out of his kingdom and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Lord, give us the victory again and again and again on these Sabbaths and in gospel work in this house, in our Christian witness every day. Give us the joy of pointing men to Christ and seeing them delivered from the snares of the devil. And Lord, give us victory over besetting sin. If we are the Lord's people, we need the victory. Victory over temper. Victory over idleness. Victory over hatred in our hearts. Victory over all the other sins that we mentioned today. Oh, we want to live a holy life, a life that's pleasing unto God. And Lord, you're able to give the victory. You're able to make us more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Lord, when you do, we give thee the praise and the honor and the glory. Thank you for the victory that we have already achieved through Christ in our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for defeating Satan when the Son of God came into this world and he went to the cross of Calvary. We praise thee that he destroyed the works of the devil forever. And we thank thee for so many in this church building. We have stood into that victory. We know our sins forgiven. We can say today, it's well with me. It's well with me in time, and praise God, it's well with me in eternity. We're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God, hallelujah. And Father, we want to thank thee for transporting us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us from under the sway of the devil, the evil one, into that sway of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church. We pray that we will live in the victory and we shall give God the praise and the glory that's due his name. Hear and answer our prayers. Dismiss us, Lord, in your favor and with your gracious love upon us. And help us to abound in God's work this day for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.